change that I made to the title didn't make it to the program. So the title is slightly different from what appears on the program. And before I go to my talk, let me give you a story of how this research came about. About a year ago, there was discussion and a continuing discussions of developing super plants as sources of biofuels in Berkeley, and that discussion, that's still ongoing discussion, involves optimizing all aspects of a plant to make it grow fast and use a minimum amount of water and produce large quantities of biomass. And we thought one aspect of the plant system that might be a subject of this optimization is the plant root, because that's where the plant gets its water and nutrients. And in particular, we were interested in what aspects of plant root could be potentially modified to improve water use efficiency of any given plant. So this is purely modeling exercise, a very simple modeling exercise. So now the main interaction to this research is plant roots modify the soil that surrounds them in a number of ways by compressing them mechanically, or the wetting and drying cycles that cause consolidation of the soil aggregates, or secretion of binding materials. And all these modifications, it's very likely to have a very strong bearing on how plants take water from the soil. And this is the particular aspect that we were interested in. And what I do in this simple exercise is to combine two simple semi-empirical models developed a generation apart, and one that tries to predict compaction around spherical objects, and one that relates change in density to unsaturated hydraulic conductivity. And by combining those and then simulating water uptake by a single plant root, trying to see how that compaction by plant roots affects water uptake. So the first part of the model is based on an old work by Farrell and Grissen in 1965 that models compaction of unsaturated soil. This model relies on this stress-strain relationship of measured under failure. And this curve can be divided into four portions. They are numbered 1, 2, 3, and 4 in reverse for a reason that will come apparent in a few slides. At small stresses, the compaction, the strain is elastic. Beyond certain limit, the soil deforms at a smaller slope if the stress is below a certain threshold, and then it deforms at a larger slope for some range of stresses, and then beyond certain void ratio, you can't compress the unsaturated soil anymore. And these zones are named here. The minimum voids ratio is the force one, or number one here. And then this is the compaction under failure, and this is the plastic failure, or commonly known as the rebound curve. And then this is the elastic zone. There are some experimental data that can be used to come up with the parameters for these models. These are done in unsaturated conditions. These particular experiments were done at three different initial bulk densities and two sections. This is 4.3 bar, this is 4.7 bar, and these are the three different initial bulk densities. And then we combine that with another model that relates change in density with change in this water retention curve. For that, we use the models of Asselin, one in 98 that introduced the model of water retention curve, and another that models the change of these parameters as a function of density. These are the four free parameters, and these are how they are related to the change in bulk density. And in this graph, we test the validity of this model for the particular soil that we are interested in, which is the parafilled loam soil. These measurements were done by the previous workers, not this Asselin, and it's very interesting that these two models done separately work together really well. The initial 1.5 grams per centimeter cube was fitted, but the other two were predicted, and the predictions are quite well. And then the main model of compaction around plant root relies again on the work of Farrell and Grissom. What they did was they assume, well, this was developed for a penetrometer, and they assume that tip is a hemispherical and it grows outwardly, starting at a zero radius. And assuming that the rate of change of radius is slow, we can assume that the stress distribution is at equilibrium and can be described by this simple differential equation. And then the soil surrounding the plant root can be divided into these four zones that correspond to the four zones that I showed earlier in the compression curve. The inner three zones are deformed under plastic condition, and the outer zone deforms elastically. And these two constitutive relationships apply for these plastic and elastic zones. And then we apply a constraint, that is the total porosity loss is equal to the volume of the root, and that can be used to calculate the interface between the plastic and elastic zones. And this leads to very nice analytical solution that can be used to calculate the distribution of bulk density around the root. These are example calculations for two diameters of plant roots, 2 and 4 millimeters. As you can see, the soil that's closest to the plant root is more compacted, up to about 1.9 grams per centimeter cube. And when you go further, the change becomes less. For this 4 millimeter root, there is a large area that is compacted to the maximum possible bulk density, or to the minimum void ratio condition. And then we take these change in bulk densities, translate them to the change in water retention, and then we model water uptake by that single plant root. The way we model the plant root is, let me back up. The way we model the plant root is by imposing a constant suction at the root surface. And we start with an initial water content, and we let it dry. So these two parts of this slide compare the water uptake, one ignoring the effect of compaction and the second part considering the effect of compaction. These are at four or five stages in time. This is a scaled time. Initially, the water is under hydrostatic equilibrium. It's wetter at the bottom of the container and drier at the top. And then with time, it dries by more. It dries more close to the root surface. And the interesting difference between these two is because of the increased capillary action near the plant roots, the soil surrounding the roots remains wetter than if you ignore the compaction. And as a result, it seems that the plant can continue to take more water when the compaction is considered in the calculations. In this graph, I compare the relative advantage of compaction, which is calculated as the volume of water taken by the root, and considering compaction minus volume ignoring compaction, and you divide it by the volume ignoring compaction and multiply it by 100. These are three different initial saturations of the soil, and this is the dimensionless time. So in all the cases, you see that compaction seems to increase the ability of the root to take more water, and its relative advantage increases when the soil becomes drier, because when it's dry, stronger capillary forces draw more water closer to the root surface, then the root can take more water. And finally, if we compare the total volume, the extracted volume for the three different initial water contents in the two conditions, one that considers compaction and one that ignores compaction, you see that again, compaction seems to increase the ability of the root to take more water. The interesting thing is that the net difference between those two cases is almost identical in the three initial water contents that were considered. So finally, based on these simple calculations, the preliminary conclusion is that compaction increases the proportion of the smaller pores that's in the soil surrounding the plant roots, and as a result, capillarity increases closer to soil, and again, that results into more water uptake by that single plant root.
Okay, thank you very much. We have still time for two short questions. Yeah.
That's a fascinating model. I think that's a very good beginning. Have you thought of incorporating Hartnell Bell's stream swell components of root once it's compacted the swell? And then, of course, as the plant root shrinks, there's less contact with the compacted region. Have you thought that through, and is that going to increase your potential absorption perhaps as the soil dries?
We are trying to do some microtomography of that root zone to see what really happens. I mean, this is all thought exercise, really. So it will probably come out from those images. And we just started them a few weeks ago.
Yeah. Is there any restriction concerning the soil texture here? This is probably for clay or silty soils.
If there is, it should apply to that model of acyline. But it seems, at least from that paper, it seems that model works for a wide range of soils.